Bill Riley is sitting in the back of a stretch limo. He just left a private party at Sean P. Diddy Combs' house. And from what I heard, he got into a verbal altercation with Beyonce at said party. He joins us now to talk a little Utah hoop. Billy boy, what's going on?
You're actually not very far off in what you just said.
So there was a Beyonce side?
There was no Beyonce. I was at a private party on the 80th floor of a penthouse at Central Park West. And I literally just left a few moments ago.
I don't believe this.
All right, great talking to you, Bill. Have fun in New York City.
Yeah, that's a show for today.
That is a drop the mic right there. There was no Beyonce. There was no P. Diddy Combs. But a girl that was a star in Rent was singing with a piano accompaniment at this party.
Did she sing that one
on the
about
80th floor?
525,600 minutes? Did she sing that song?
She did not. She was singing holiday songs.
Oh, well. I like the Rent
songs.
And
the Star Wars theme like Bill Murray did on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Did you see Star Wars last night?
I did not. I'm going to see it on Monday night upon my return. I've heard the reviews are outstanding. Did they meet with your accompaniment, your agreements? Did you agree with the movie, Sean O'Connell?
I loved it. I really, really loved it. I don't want to give out any spoilers or anything like that or oversell it to people. But if you liked the originals, this one is much closer to that kind of vibe and feel and quality than any of the prequels were. So I think that if you like the originals, you'll like Episode 7.
That's good. I'm looking. I saw the picture you tweeted out of wonderment and awe, like a child on Christmas morning that's just seen what Santa brought after you left the theater last night.
You've gotta maintain that sense of precociousness, Bill.
I love it. New York City, by the way, guys, off the hook today. The party I was just at was fantastic. And now we're ready for some good basketball tomorrow. I got some shots up in Madison. Swinney, you'll appreciate this. I got some shots up at Madison Square Garden this afternoon, which was right there. That was pretty sweet. And the Utes had a really good practice, too.
We were debating earlier what your shooting percentage was today.
It was not high. It was not in the teens.
Okay.
I would say
about
20%. I shot free throws well. I was very cold, much like the Utes have been much of this season from beyond the arc when I hoisted up some threes.
Now, were you shooting college threes or NBA threes?
I was shooting the international line. I was beyond the college, but not quite out to the NBA line. So I was kind of doing the international thing today. Knocked down a couple of those, mostly my free throws, but it was pretty cool to be at Madison Square Garden today.
We've been trying to figure out all day where these games are going to be decided. We got a big Super Sports Saturday brought to you by the Advocates. You don't just need an attorney, you deserve an advocate. Where is the basketball game decided, Bill?
I think the basketball game is decided tomorrow with one, Utah's ability to get Jakob Poeltl involved. Without Emile Jefferson, they've got yet another Plumlee brother. There's some factory in Warsaw, Indiana, that just continues to crank out Plumlees. Marshall Plumlee inside. And he's not as skilled as his brothers, but he's a decent big man. But outside of that, they don't have much inside. So if Utah can get him involved, that'll be good. Utah's just got to guard their athletes. What Duke does is not overly complicated. Wichita State a week ago, they run a million sets and plays and everything like that. What Duke does is they have two or three plays they run really well, and if you guard those, they just count on their 17 McDonald's All-Americans to beat you one-on-one. So if Utah's able to guard the basketball pretty well tomorrow, as they did last year in the Sweet 16, they'll be in good shape.
And the football game?
To me, the football game is, like I said to you guys yesterday, Utah runs the football, and Utah pressures Tanner Mangum. If they pressure Tanner Mangum, he's going to make mistakes, as he's done all year long, and Utah will force turnovers. If they don't get pressure on Tanner Mangum, he's going to throw the ball down the field to those gigantic wide receivers. And if Utah can't run the football, I don't know what they're going to be able to do offensively. I think they've got to get Joe Williams a lot of touches and run the football. What do you guys think?
I think, obviously, the turnover battle is always key. It always is every single week. But Utah's absolutely got to run this ball. And I don't think it's just Joe Williams. I think it's Travis Wilson. And I think
I agree with you on that, Swinney. I think it's Travis, too.
And I look at BYU's defense and some of their deficiencies and some of the trouble they've had at points during the season. Not all season, but at points during the season and stopping the run. And Travis just runs that read option so effectively. I just think he's going to be very effective doing that. And I think that's going to be the key. And I think that's probably the biggest reason that Utah wins is because of Wilson's effectiveness on the ground.
Obi-Wan O'Connell, what's your read?
I think that this is going to be a pretty defensive battle, and the team that's able to, you know, turnovers are obviously one thing, but I think the three and outs that a team can force, and that's where Tom Hackett comes in so big because he can flip the field even if the offense sputters and fails. But I think the team that does a better job of controlling kind of the pace, the time of possession in what I think is going to be a grinded out game, that's going to be the key here, aside from the things that you guys talked about. Pressuring the quarterback and rattling a young guy like Tanner Mangum is, I think, absolutely crucial. But I think that this is going to be one of those games where you've got to build some drives, you've got to build some momentum, and you've got to get points out of them.
Here's what I've heard, guys, in talking to some of my guys on and around the team. They're going to, much like they did last year against Colorado State, they're going to open the playbook. I think you're going to see a lot of different looks that, for whatever reason, Utah hasn't run. Now, that's what the practice setting's been. I don't know if that's going to be what the game situation is, but just talking to some people, I get the sense that they're going to take the handcuffs, whatever, the zip ties, whatever's been on that offense, and open things up tomorrow against BYU.
Well, looking forward to that game. Looking forward, obviously, to hearing you on the call. You and Jimmy Soto coming live from Madison Square Garden. Have a great one, and we'll talk with you tomorrow night when our 14 or so hours of Utah sports coverage wraps up.
And would you please, Okoshi, keep Swinney out of the lockup tonight? He's got to do some broadcasting tomorrow, post-game stuff with Jake Murphy. I don't want to have to dip into our slush fund at the radio station and have to bail him out of anything.
No, Jake's actually going to be my my escort tonight. He's going to keep me under control. So we're going to.
Being your co-pilot, Murphy will be your co-pilot.
Exactly, Murphy's going to keep me keep me grounded this evening.
Well, I do trust Jake Murphy. That is one good guy right there.
Yeah, he should be arriving in Vegas in about 15 minutes, and I'll be under wraps at that point.
You heard it here on ESPN 700. Brian Swinney is going to find an escort in Las Vegas.
And named Jake Murphy.
All right, thanks, Bill.
All right, boys. Talk to you later.